A temporary compromise might be in sight, but the prelude to the last government shutdown, that was in 1995, was also full of false starts. Jim King is the former director of the Office of Personnel Management. He was in charge during the last government shutdown. He joins us now to share his take on where we might be headed. Mr. King, thanks for being with us.
Well, good morning.
Great to have you. So what do you remember from the last time? How did things work then?
Well, it was very similar as far as the guerrilla theater goes on with the, the members of the House and the Senate. I'll try to be as nonpartisan as I can, so bear with me. I think the big thing was at that time we get into the non-essential and employee, and that created a great deal of really ugly PR. One of the first things we had done was to establish the fact that we have emergency employees, and then everyone else is essential. So that was came the good thing. The biggest single thing though was, I think members of Congress who thought, and public, we said, oh, the government doesn't do anything. It doesn't really affect me. I live in an isolated area or something. The parks closed. And suddenly the coffee shop buzz was, my son's sports shop, my son says they haven't sold $5 worth of material in the past 2 days. That was the tourist industry that came through. You can multiply this by a number of things. So the impact on the American people was there. For us, we had a population, an employee population, civilians, of about 2 million people. I think what we forget is that the 2 million employees, civilian employees of the federal government, is about the same size that a government was in 1953, when we had about half of the population we presently have today. So the technical side and the efficiency of the federal government is really quite dramatic, but it's not fully understood by those who don't analyze the real figures. The shutdown, as I said, had an enormous impact, and I think that you've discussed that pretty thoroughly, from passports. Is it really, by the way, is your custodial help essential? If you work in a lab, what do you do with the lab animals where you've spent hundreds of millions of dollars developing cures for diseases that kill thousands of people every day? How do you feed those animals? How do you clean up after them? How do you create the environment? And you disrupt the ongoing process of research. Are those really essential in the sense as it's being defined? Well, but I'm doing a lot of talking. You have questions.
I do have a question, and one is about the difference between then and now. I mean, you've carved out a few of them for us, but there are two big things that strike me, and one is the sentiment toward the federal employee among Mr. and Mrs. America right now, and if that would be a factor. And number two, since then, 9/11 happened, and that has created more agencies and more, I guess you could call them essential or emergency personnel. So how would those factors weigh in when it comes to a potential shutdown or furlough?
Well, first of all, I think the ordinary American merges all governmental levels. I think if you work for the government, you understand there's a difference between the federal, the state, the county, and local government. And but the ordinary citizen, government is a singular. We understand it's multidimensional. And part of it is we've done a rather poor job in explaining to people. For example, you just touched on it. 60% of the workforce belongs in three agencies: Defense, Homeland Security, and Veterans Affairs. So, how much can you go into that? So when you have a 60% base here, the other thing is, in this discussion, we've confused Social Security, for example, with the debt. That's a trust fund. That has nothing to do with the debt. Again, that hasn't been fully explained or understood by the American people. Secondly, our pensions are trusted. Our pensions are funded. But when you're listening to the, watching television, listening to the radio, you're looking at Wisconsin and a number of other states who are facing a crisis in pensions. We in the federal government get piggybacked onto all the bad news and all the things that have been done elsewhere but had been remedied at the federal level.
Now, let's take a look at what's going on with Congress. And there is repeated proposals, counterproposals to try to keep the government funded, at least on a continuing resolution business, or basis, rather. Does this look to you, based on what happened in 95, like this time they will actually be able to get a compromise and avert a shutdown?
Well, I think part of it is, and that's why I mentioned guerrilla theater when I started, a number of people ran against the government. They said, if elected, we can get rid of government, we can get rid of those costs. That really isn't essential. We don't need it. And then suddenly, they get into a place like Washington, and as they become more educated in what the government really does do, we discover that the government that we talk about being on somebody's back spends most of its time either scratching the public's back or massaging it. And when you're there, it becomes a little awkward, because then you have to admit that a substantial part of what's being done is not only useful, it is very much a part of the attitude and expectation of the American public. They expect those services.
We are talking with Jim King. He is the former director of the Office of Personnel Management. He was also in charge during the last government shutdown. And to that end, I want to ask you for some advice. What is it federal workers and contractors need to know and need to do right now in case there is a shutdown come this Friday? What is your advice for them as this countdown clock continues?
Don't make any huge financial commitments, because you're going to have disrupted pay. And I don't know about the rest of you, but I spend virtually, if it comes in, it goes out. I would really take a long look at going out and buying that making that major purchase where I'm going to have to be making payments. I would tighten up my purchasing, and I would make sure that I could survive financially and not destroy my own credit rating because someone else needs to do the political guerrilla theater.
And I want to tell you, your grandfather clock is about 40 seconds early, by the way. But getting to the idea of federal workers being furloughed for weeks, or we hope it doesn't happen, but for some length of time, in your experience, how do they feel about that? Because they're proscribed from actually working off the clock. They're not allowed to do that because of the Anti-Deficiency Act. So how does that make them feel?
Well, the first thing is, it affects your recruiting. People who are interested in government, this whole discussion about comparing wages and benefits, it's a very interesting thing to look at, because what we do is we have almost no jobs for high school dropouts, for example. The educational demands for federal employees, and, you know, any reasonable review of the jobs that are in there and the people who hold those jobs don't really compare to the private sector as to education, experience, and even certain levels of productivity. They're highly specialized, and the expectation of government employees is at times quite different, especially as they relate to the public. The other thing is that we often forget is there are built-in costs in government that don't exist in the private sector. And that one of the big ones is fairness. That's an expensive thing. We do testing. We have appeals. What we try to do is hold out to the public that the workplace called the federal government is a model workplace for citizens and for those that we need to operate government and do it efficiently. And the recruiting aspects are critical, and the retention is important, obviously. So when I was talking about medical research, I don't think the ordinary citizen realizes how many Americans today are with us and healthy because of the government employees who, over the years, who have worked in their healthcare system as well as research.
Jim King is the former director of the Office of Personnel Management, also was in charge during the last government shutdown. Mr. King, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us and providing us with your insight.
Okay, I wish you and all my very best as I sit in the snow here in New England.
Well, listen, the Sox are down in spring training, so the good weather's coming.
Thank you. All the best to all.